Good afternoon, I'm Chairman Brad Holton. We'll call the meeting back to order. We have a 2 o'clock agenda item and it's fiscal year 2025 budget workshop number two and the assessor is on the,
Chopping block? No.
Chopping block, no.
About 50 pounds anywhere. Good afternoon, commissioners.
Yes.
Am I the first person to be back for round two?
No.
No, you're not.
I'm not reinventing the wheel.
No, but we really wanted you to be, but it just didn't work out for us.
Do you have something to pass out, Mr. Assessor?
Not.
Or do you need to tap in? Or just, you're gonna give?
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah, I know.
We can plug you in so you look.
Do you need to be plugged in?
I don't think so.
Okay, alright, you're good, sorry.
For the most part, I went through and looked and Sarah removed, or somebody removed the items that we discussed in the last meeting, so we're getting trimmed down there. Since we met last time, CO Rast and I had a discussion about our DMV positions. And he recommended that we make some, an adjustment to two grades. We had a gap in the grades, so it didn't flow quite, didn't look, optically it didn't look right. So we made some adjustments there, that affected 8 positions and I have another document that just, it's the one that was before, but I just updated the positions. So I can share that later on if you're gonna.
Okay.
But it's what I'd recommend at the end. So I actually came in about 148,000 and I had 150 in that budget line for the reclassification line. So that's
all right.
Pretty close. So I think we're, as far as I believe, we're done with that one. I still have a $50,000 remodel question that's up in the air. I sent an email to Director Stokes of ITD on what the future was going to be, and he immediately kicked it to the director who I was trying to go around to get an answer. I got an email this morning from the assessor, who's the chair of our DMV committee, and she said that Lisa is going to come speak to our assessor group at our association meeting in August. So hopefully in August I'll know more about that 50,000 if we're gonna do it or not. I'd hate to put a pile of money into the building and then not need the building anymore or that service. I think whoever's doing the DMV function, we need to have something here in Canyon County for our constituents. Ideally, if I knew we were gonna have it long-term, up an office in Nampa and maybe downsize this one a little bit, but until I have a fairly clear future, I don't want to shake the apple cart that we have out there. Oh, I do have, last time I was here with everybody, we'd had 2 new High Point days for customer volume. Well, since then, July 1st, we had another new one. We're up to our new record is 634 transactions for people coming through there or people coming through in one day. So that's a lot of people.
Mr. Chairman, how many of these could have been done online? Do you know? And they chose to walk in?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Brooks, I haven't looked that granular at it. I'm kind of looking more globally on that statistic. If I was taking a guess, I'd say maybe a quarter of them could have been renewals that could have been done online, which is our current admin fee is $9.50 and online it's free.
Don't advertise.
Well, just saying, it's a point of interest. And if you all would rather send a whole bill for the entire operation to ITD so it would be free for everybody, then hey, I'll sign the letter with you.
Mr.
Want to go down that road yet?
ITD doesn't have anything in their budget for, because I mean, we're basically what, like a satellite operation for them? So they don't have anything in their budget for facilities or anything like that?
I would venture no. I'm not aware, no.
This sounds oddly familiar to public defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So I think we're good on the motor vehicle budget outside of those two, unless you all had a different question.
Yeah, one question. The $50,000 that we added in for the capital construction contracts, which is for the east wing desks, is that right? Mm-hmm.
Is it in Director Britton's budget? Because we only need 50,000 once. We don't need 100,000 in this budget request.
Yeah, so I've got a couple questions. One, can that wait a year? And number two, is it in the right budget?
So,
valid questions, in my opinion.
So let me take those reverse. Yes, that's the right budget. The desks are very narrow and compact, and everything that they have that they need to do their job now. With the window space, we're pretty tight. And primary goal for this fiscal year for me was to reclassify the positions and get my team out there. They're paid to adequately reflect what they're doing out there. It's not an easy job. It's stressful. A lot of people in your face. Other people help a lot of people. Other employees in the county help a lot of constituents, but not necessarily walk in directly to their face at the volume that we're doing out there. So you're saying, can we cut 50 grand there? I'll say, well, this is a self-funded unit, essentially. So our intent is to generate revenue, enough revenue to cover the expenses. And I'll help you. I know you're looking, we're about 120,000 upside down right now in the estimate. But as we get closer, I just got June's numbers this morning to put in my spreadsheet to get a better forecast with. We're rolling into our higher number months. So depending on what that is, we anticipate adjusting the admin fee for both title and registrations later on, about the first of the year. Kyle, you're new. I'll back up a little bit. We now have the ability, we've always had the ability to establish an admin fee to cover the cost of the service. Well, that was for registrations. Now we can do that with title transfer or titles as well. So that helps keep us whole out there. We've got a lot of transactions that generate $1 to $5. So we do a whole bunch of transactions and keep very little money. We collect a whole bunch of sales tax revenue for the state, and we send it, and we get to collect a dollar for each of the transactions that we collect it for.
So, Mr. Ed, that $50,000, I do not believe that's in facilities. I think we added that and left it in motor vehicle under current expense. So I'm not sure if we need to move that to facilities or leave it with the anticipation of the fee increase to pay for it.
Can we do it as a pass-through and it doesn't get done unless we receive it?
It all depends on the timing of facilities when they have it in their work schedule, but maybe.
If you leave it in the motor vehicle budget, you'll at least be able to tie it to that facility, and for the, it'll be an expense against the revenues that we are going to establish later in the fall.
Right.
Is one way to look at it.
That'd be one way to do it. Doesn't negatively impact us, but you pick a play to go to get there.
And Chairman?
Yes.
Is that a legislative approval, or you can just do that? How does your fee increase work?
Chairman Holton, Mr. Van Beek, it was a legislative change to add the title admin fee, and so what we'll do is we'll figure out what the costs are going to be associated with those specific transactions, how long they take, and then we'll see what part of the office it takes to do those types of transactions.
I would be in favor of what Chairman Holton suggested, that if you can self-fund that, then it can come out of what you generate an increase. Otherwise, there's not enough room to do that this year.
Commissioner Van Beek, you've been part of two of those admin fee adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
So you've...
Right. And they're always... You've had some tweaks, you know, where you've brought that back and whatever. So that'll be interesting to see what you get. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the refresher.
Chairman?
Yes.
Just clarification on the budget question about how to expense. The revenue projections that the assessor provided that you're looking at, this contemplates the requested fee increase into the projections? That's a question.
Yeah, it's a little short though. I think we're going to have more transactions.
Okay. So I think to the chairman's question about how to fund it, like the preference is to have the $50,000 in a budget. So the authorization to spend is there. It doesn't mean it's you must spend. And you want to make sure that they're not spending B savings on one item on something else, like a bait and switch pivot sort of thing. But if the senator is offended at the suggestion, and I was not anyway suggesting that that's what he would do. But on the increases, if the assessor beats the revenue projections here, you could amend the budget to realize the revenue above and beyond, and then amend the budget on the expenditure side, or you can just have the placeholder in to spend and not spend it until you're satisfied at some point, maybe after the first quarter, second quarter. I don't know when you would want the project completed, if it's like right away or...
That's the challenging point, because to realize if we're going to be ahead or not, it's at the tail end of the game.
Because of the summer
slower time is December, yes. January, February.
You can do year over year percent and then project that through. I mean, again, you're just doing projections at that point. But as far as if you don't have the 50,000 in, and I think what I heard is if you're doing good on revenue and then it's just a pass through, you would still need to, unless there's savings elsewhere under the BNA where you don't, it's okay for him to spend on this capital need and he's still under his budget, then that's another way to do it. It's just how detailed do you want to get with this specific line item in his B budget?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Leaving this expense in the assessor's budget feels like undoing what we have done over the last year and moving all of these expenses into the facilities budget, because that was the prior argument made that all of these expenses that facilities now has in their budget, they needed to be in each individual department and office's budget so that you could see exactly what it was going to cost for each one of those entities. And we undid that by moving it all into facilities, because facilities is the expert and they're the ones carrying out the work. So
I agree with that. Unfortunately, this is a pay-to-play department, and it's different than the majority of the other entities that facility does. We don't generate any fees. So I don't disagree with your point. I don't know how to...
Chairman? But if we did what the clerk suggested and opened the budget for unanticipated revenue, you could track that revenue and then charge the expense against it.
Yeah, but what I realize hearing the assessor speak, you would have to open it up if you beat the revenue, and it probably wouldn't happen until the third quarter or into the fourth quarter, and so then you'd be pushing this back to the end of the year. So, yeah.
Mr. Chair, luckily this is current expense, facilities and motor vehicles all in current expense, so moving that around, Director Britton is saving a significant amount of money on bulk buying, and that $50,000 may not actually be $50,000. Because I think we're saving a lot holistically countywide by consolidating all of that.
Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of moving that.
And I'm fine moving it, just as long as we all know that I've got $50,000 earmarked.
And Chairman, if I'm not mistaken, Director Britton has those projects detailed out with his software, so I don't think there's a problem with him tracking that.
No, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, we wrote the application and how to track all that. That's the Ford application, and so yes, they can track all that. It's not in his capital projects right now, so we'd have to move it. The next logical question is asking Director Britton if he's got the bandwidth to get this done, because he's got a lot of work ahead of him this next fiscal year. So if he doesn't have the bandwidth to do it, this might have to be slated anyway, so the following year. I think that's a question we have to ask.
Sure. I'll add one other question. The advantage, I think you're alluding to the pay-to-play piece, the cost of providing a service in which you're charging some sort of user fee. I think the assessor would be more familiar with whether the statute, usually it doesn't contemplate sort of those fixed overhead costs that get charged through an allocation. It's just the immediate hard cost. But sometimes I know statute does speak to the cost recovery model. The fees cannot capture more than the cost of providing the service. And so there's pros and cons to moving it away or in, but one of the advantages potentially of keeping it, but it would be a moot point if it doesn't contribute to the cost of providing the service, is that you're capturing that cost. And so when you're trying to create formula for charge of service, but in this case, I don't think it's likely relevant. I just want to make sure we're not altering the basis for any fee increase. I know a one-time capital is likely not, but if you're having these big chunks, those are two things. But I think also to Chief Rass' point, another condition, if it's generally cheaper, if we complete it in our shop, and that's kind of a condition, is like if we can get to it or not, or does he have the budget to go? Because this would be under the procurement to like do a competitive bid. And what guidance do you want to provide EOs have a big chunk of money to just go order from a catalog to outfit their space? So it's just, again, I'm offending the assessor at that suggestion, but I think these are important aspects, because from a financial control standpoint, our office, I might have an opinion, but we're not rendering any financial controls. If you were to authorize a line item to go outfit, and let's say Britton says it'll take me 6 months to get to that, and not just Dender, but any EO is like, no, I need it done ASAP, so I'm going to just go spend that money. I guess when the blue sheet comes before you, you could provide more specific conditions on allocating those funds. Yeah. But those are just a few things. I just want to make clear that my office isn't going to be interposing against procurement that's within the jurisdiction of the EO, and if you authorize the budgetary amount.
Chairman.
But if it's under Britton's budget, he's responsible for the procurement, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So two things, Rick. You mentioned the $50,000. Didn't that get raised by the legislature?
Yeah.
Okay.
$75,000.
Okay.
It's a single item.
Yeah, and then the other thing, there's a prioritization list that Director Britton's put out there.
Mr. Chair, what I was going to recommend is maybe invite the assessor back during the facilities budget discussion.
Yes.
Because there's a capital project we're going to be going through, and there's actually six projects on here for the assessor. We could talk about this $50,000 during that discussion. So if that works, that way we could determine if there's bandwidth from facilities and where to place it.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm... What I'm perplexed with is human nature. Theoretically, they should all be tickled pink to go do it on the internet, and just the opposite is happening. So this department does more face-to-face than any of the other departments, including the sheriff, in volume. and to not treat our staff well is, I don't want to be a part of that kind of leadership. So I would like to figure out some way to choose to afford this, because they're turning and burning over there. And all along, we've been sold this rosy picture that everybody's going to go on the internet, and pretty soon this will all dribble away. Well, it ain't working out for us. And so we have to be realistic to our staff and our people and do right by them, too. So I'm perplexed of what to do, and I still like the pay-to-play, and I know my state legislature has all these frickin' rules that make sure that we don't ever meet the exact cost of pay-to-play, but we always stay behind. I get all of that. I hear all the rules they write. Forgive us if we ever make a profit. So, but I still don't like my little old lady who's retired and in a fixed income in her house, trying to live out her last years, paying for anybody who walks in and wants to buy a license. They need to pay their way. Because she doesn't need to pay their way. They need to pay their way.
So that would be the sheriff with the license. We'll do registrations for her, though.
I don't want to get the sheriff in trouble. I'm just talking theoretical on money here. So I'm good with moving it over to facilities. Like I said at the beginning, Commissioner Brooks is right too often. So there he is again. So that, you know, the economy to scale, all of that, that the facilities is able to do for this county is phenomenal. And so I'm good with that.
So do we want to discuss it when we talk about all the capital projects? And
yep. So, Brian, you'll need to be in the room.
I have an idea of when that's going to be.
Like 22nd at 10 a.m.
Do you want the assessor's budget workshop listed on the agenda, or is he just invited to?
He's just invited.
He's strongly invited.
There's quite a few office departments going to be going through that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be here that week. Oh, wait. I will be here. Wow. I should be here.
Lucky us. Wrong one. All right, wrong one. Okay.
Well, that was motor vehicle.
Gee, that was quick. What's next?
We got reappraisal next.
Okay, so again, Sarah went through and removed the items, most of the items, I believe, that we discussed last time. BOE has almost ended, so we're shifting gears to work on the reclassification for their appraisal staff. Got some information from Bosco last week when he got back, and then I'm hoping to get a meeting with him in the morning. We're going to start going through and putting together our plan, what we think, and then meet with him, and then we'll come back and update that number. We have $160,000 in that reclassification line that is kind of a placeholder. And then line 521120, miscellaneous professional services. I'd like to reduce that one. We reduced it once, and elections has money for to contribute to the aerial photography already in their budget. And then also Weed and Pest does as well. So I'd like to, and then, so that'll reduce my portion of that $65,000 bill from 65 down to 45,000. And also another 1,500 for our sub and occupancy notice mailing fee. So all encompassed, that would reduce that line down to 135,500.
Okay.
Cool. I like it. Chairman, have
135 is the final number?
135.5.
135.5.
135.5.
Chairman. Yeah. Chairman, I have a question.
Sorry.
Brian, was the, on the 160,000, that was 8 positions, and that was on your reappraisal, right?
That will be for all the appraisal staff.
Okay.
Putting them in the new.
So it's more than 8. Okay.
We have our appraisal positions were consolidated into one single grade, essentially, and we're looking to re-stratify some of those. So our we have a appraisal trainee right now, and the trainee position shouldn't be in the same position as a senior or even a certified appraiser. So we're working to break those out, and then an advanced appraiser position as well.
Okay.
I don't have any further data than that, unfortunately.
Chief?
Two questions, or one statement, one question. Is when we're reducing that 521120 to 135,500, that's where we're probably going to add 10,000 split between pest and weed. So this will be a savings, but also split amongst others, and elections will go up as well.
Okay.
That will wash out countywide. The second thing is, Brian, there you have a, we're looking at the vacancy list. You have a customer service specialist been vacant since 2012. Is that accurate?
Don't tell him.
Somebody else is sitting in my.
It's the PC, if you want to look it up, it's 649. The other two vacancies look very recent.
And we have today started our JS analyst is back.
That's the other one.
And then we have a commercial position that we're, once we get everything reclassified and readjusted, then we'll advertise it.
I'm looking at HR report. 649.
649.
I can't see HR stuff.
So yeah, there's three vacancies currently. I think you just spoke to two of them. The third one that is the 649, and the salary is 48,337.
So
and that's in the carryover baseline budget that we have. That's a funded vacancy currently.
I can't see in HR when that position, I can't,
So there's one potential that we can unfund, just it's been out there forever.
Oh, no.
Out there forever.
That's not. So we have, these are all legitimate positions. It will be not a customer service specialist anymore. That's one of the ones that's getting converted to a plat tech.
Is that
the resolution went through? I believe so. That's one of them. And it's we're advertising for it right now.
Could you just validate?
Yeah.
So, Chairman, just a historical comment, whether it's relative or not, but. When in 2022, we looked at a similar document, and there were 76 funded, not filled, with the dates on this were significantly longer than, you know, this one's getting looked at, but there were things out there that had been funded, not filled for maybe a decade there. So there's that.
I shouldn't have any that have any date that is more than a year old. In my list, I have four unfunded positions in reappraisal, but that 2012 is.
Is possible, maybe Commissioner, right, is it? So this position is one of your
fairly common positions in the family, right? The title for, so whenever there's vacancies over the decade, you've had multiple vacancies come and go. When you backfill, when someone leaves, are you?
We're trying to use that same PCN.
You're using that same PCN. So it's possible that at any given time over a decade, with a group this large, 41, 42 employees, usually you have a 5% vacancy rate. The odds are he's probably always having at least one vacancy. I could be wrong. That's what the odds would indicate. And it's possible the way he's rotated through, that could be one explanation for why a PCN sits as long in a bigger family like this, as opposed to if you were looking at a family of 5 or 8 or 9, then it would be more an anomaly. But if this is like the common position in a fairly large group, it just might be the way you have it advertised, and possibly he fills the position, and then wouldn't be vacant anymore. Then you would have no vacancies in that title. But
so I'm looking, we changed two, we updated two positions, two PCNs, and the one of them is has somebody in it right now, and that label has been changed to Plat Tech. Okay. But the vacant one hasn't been changed. So my money's on.
So maybe you don't rotate the PCNs, does that make sense?
Well, and I think part of what happened too is that these were funded at a level that you couldn't recruit, and so they continued to be carried forward year after year. It was sort of a savings account, I don't know how else to say it. So.
Yeah, this is why from a financial control standpoint, these positions should be scrutinized, because it might
yes.
be an aha moment, like, oh, I didn't even know, or it could be a very big family
yeah.
of employees, and I don't know how the county, you know, if you're only backfilling the PCN when there's a vacancy and you're never fully staffed. If you have a family of 100 more employees, you might never be fully staffed in a whole decade, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the PCN that just remained vacant looks like you're not even trying to fill it, when in reality it's just at any given day of any given year there's a vacancy.
Yeah.
It just happens to be that PCN.
And with the
rotate the PCN,
yeah.
then you would avoid that. But yeah.
And I see what you're saying, and thank you for that clarification on some of those, because of our turnover. It was messy. Yeah. But I want to go back to the other stratification for the assessor. So it was not really clear to me, because I always have questions on the compensation and equity piece. So it made sense to me. The chief took time to say that we got people with the reevaluation and the hiring of the compensation manager position. Everybody got placed in the right grade. And now the issues of addressing where they fall. So to your point, you have entry-level people making the same as a senior appraiser. That shouldn't happen. So I think that's an important clarification as we start to get granular, like you're saying, in those groups. It's sometimes frustrating that it's taken this long, but...
Yeah, and I have supervisors in the same band as... in the same grade, I guess, as the people they supervise. So we're going to look at that too. We're kind of looking at that whole group to see if it makes sense.
Thank you. And Chief, I don't know if you want to say it any better than I did, but that was an aha moment for me. But
no, Mr. Chair, Commissioner, you said it just right.
Yeah.
Last year, putting everybody in the grade, this year, now we're going to work with the equity that's in that grade, where people should be.
And
I feel like they were going through reorg consideration for the motor vehicle and reappraisal. Titles, it makes sense. Grades, it makes sense. Promotions, it makes sense.
And then I think when I, Rick Hogaboom, coming from Nampa, what I heard from their city council was, and I know this isn't Nampa, but to maintain steady progress rather than hold for several years and then have
yes.
gigantic steps, it's a bad optics.
Yes, and it takes some political courage to take the incremental steps, but I think the incentive for delaying that is to say we held the line, but all you're doing is you're deferring the liability, you're not eliminating it. So it's you know, at the end of the day, it's how you want to communicate with the constituents. But sometimes there might be symbolic value in saying, you know what, we held the line. But if you're looking at a balance sheet, the long-term liabilities are piling up. You're not. So sometimes there's a thought like, by not spending the money, I saved the money. No, you just delayed the expenditure.
And a lot of that, yeah, is what we're finding in a growing county, given as much growth as we're seeing. And the assessor is the one to speak to that. We have put a lot of, deferred a lot of things that we should have been looking at and planning for. Long-term planning was not taken into consideration. It was more of a, it was crisis management, in my humble opinion, but that's just my opinion. So now we're trying to fix that. Thank you.
So point of clarification, there's three that I see on this, funded, unfilled positions. Is that true? Is that wrong? Do they stand?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, with all the data that I'm seeing, 2012 is the last time we had filled that 6.9 PCN.
I see that.
So I've checked two systems. They both say the same thing. So I'd like to be curious to see with 6.49 if there is a resolution that ties that to something.
Okay.
So we need some homework on that.
So we need some homework and come back on it. Because that could be a vacancy we could unfund.
Yes.
If you don't know you had it.
We're advertising for this position right now. Yeah.
For 6.49?
What position, what PCN would you give them?
17th, we had a meeting here, and the position went from a customer service specialist to a...
Flat tech. It is calling out 6.49.
And we promoted, so 001 and 6.49 were both those PCNs. And we promoted out of 6.49 into a GIS analyst position. So that opened it up less than a year.
So the 2012 data is totally whack off. All right.
June 17th was on the memo.
6/17, huh?
So 6/17, 6/18, somewhere in there.
That's your story and you're going to stick with it?
Hoping to.
Mr. I'll get with HR to make sure the record's updated.
Okay, if you would, please. Man, it just went through my fingers that fast. I thought I had it there.
Another thing I'd recommend is maybe we have workshop number 3 for just the reappraisal side for the reorg.
I'm in favor of that.
This director was going to be one of the POs. strike 3. on four, you walk, all right? So just be careful.
Okay.
Although I'm not that versed in baseball, so I'll leave that up to Commissioner Brooks.
Well, and for the record, this shows that we are data mining.
We are looking for everything. Yeah.
What system are you seeing that on?
HRMS, all of it. And then,
I don't have that.
And then the report.
Yeah, so I only have, today, if you look at PowerPoint, I have 3 positions. And one's commercial, we just filled Jacob started today, and then that one we're advertising for, so probably within a month we'll have it.
Yep. June 24th was the actual day that we had a meeting in here about.
Okay. So that one just hasn't been updated because that's probably the first part of June, so they haven't updated this list.
This was the draft. Go into Director Tolman's budget because we're getting 2 more
SUVs here shortly. And if we can snag another two next cycle, I think we can get rid of that 35 grand that I put in.
Mr. I don't think it's in fleet. Because I the conversations I had with Mark, he was going to try to outfit the needs through other equipment, other cars. So yeah. 35,000 is not in fleet.
Is it anywhere?
Mm-hmm. I think it's.
So do we need to put it into Mark's budget?
No.
No.
That's my
no.
intent is that it doesn't need to be anywhere. All
right. Need to make sure that's gone. Pretty positive it's not anywhere right now.
Mr. Chairman, do it like I do my wife's to-do list. I go and add stuff that I've done that wasn't on the list so I can cross it out.
How's that working for you?
About like this budget hearing.
Okay.
I just looked at the notes under fleet. Under gender vehicles for a 480,000, this is not listed in there.
All right.
We have some people that are fairly tall, and it's nicer to get into an SUV instead of a Ford Taurus.
Yeah, they had when back issues on workman's comp.
All right, advertise.
All right, what else?
Can we buy a boat?
Buy the boat. We are buying a boat. It just hasn't got manufactured yet to be delivered.
Okay, so then just a follow-up.
Yes.
We've modified one line item from 170,000 to 135,500.
Oh, sorry, 138,500.
You just added three to it. I don't know that you can do that.
So 45,000 plus yes. 3,500 plus 90,000,
138,500. Correction.
Good thing you came through there.
Yeah. 138,500 is one correction.
That's a stop.
Yeah, quit reviewing it. It keeps going up.
So then we'll do a workshop number three to be determined on the reword round reappraisal.
Okay.
Of that 160,000.
Okay.
That's what I gather.
Yes.
All right. Sounds good. Well, lucky you, you're not done with us yet. Filter on.
Is your building open as a cooling station?
The paramedic building is down the road.
Okay, gotcha.
That would probably be a better, more beneficial since there's emergency medical professionals to help if somebody's overheating.
It's being a little sarcastic, but a lot of public buildings are announcing if you need a cool place to hang out, come hang out at our building. But I don't know if you want that invitation out.
Or does it say hallways?
What's that?
There's lots of hallways in this building.
Yes, there is.
Benches.
A lot of benches.
Chairman, maybe I missed it, but you had also in the capital a $20,000 request for glass, right? Or did you punt that?
Chairman Holton, Commissioner Redbeek, yes, I did. And that was moved to... There was two parts. There was... glass in the front office where Joe and I's office is, that new remodeled area. That was 50 grand there. And then 20,000 is for dividers in between the appraisal staff. Because right now we only have like about a 3 foot wall. And then we were going to put an additional 16 to 18 inches above that. Luckily, we got through this year and it didn't sound like a call center in there. Most of the calls were generated in the commercial department. But if we had the same amount of calls as we typically do in the residential department, it would be crazy noisy. And the glass is intended to knock down some of that noise in between each of the appraisers.
Okay.
Why didn't we build the wall higher?
Well, then you would compartmentalize each individual appraiser and we'd lose unity within the group. Moving everybody in there was intended to create unity within the group, and then they could share also different situations they could ask each other about.
That might be one that we have to wait. I don't know.
For
maybe next year.
It's 20,000.
You said 50.
That's 70 total.
So right? 50 is for the storefront. So it'll be like, it'll be look like the court side, look like the treasurer's office when you walk in there. We are having individuals come into our office that are a little different these days. It's a more secure environment for my staff.
Can we see where we end up?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, Mr. Chairman, looking at the numbers, I feel like we're kicking the can down the road, but if we want to make just one big meeting of slash and burn, I mean.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Brooks, this is actually on the list of capital projects we're going to be going through with.
Okay.
So we go through, because there's collectively over $2 million in capital projects. The way the budget sits, that's going to be. Yeah.
Is there any ARPA funds left?
Nope, not even.
Not even a dribble.
It's all allocated.
This building is eating up all of it?
And more.
Has anything been cut off that building?
Yes.
The whole floor.
A lot's been cut off that.
And continuing.
If you have anybody with opioid addictions, you might be in business, but.
And the ARPA.
That might be the people that come visit us lately.
Yeah. That's why you're needing the storefront.
So, Chairman, just a reminder. I was hoping the capital would come down a little bit, and I know that Sarah says there's been some consolidating Director Britton's budget, whereas some of the stuff used to reside in other people's budgets, but part of the levy in the current FY24 was a one-time use of foregone for capital. It doesn't roll into the base next year. So when we talk about $3.5 million new and 3% plus new construction, the actual levying from last year to this year is only going to be like $2.5 million of showing an increase, because part of what is showing under our current levy is not part of our full levy for ongoing operational expenses. It was one-time capital. And I'm seeing a lot of capital in a consecutive year, but without that carryover of the one-time stuff was all specified in the worksheet, to be clear, and stuff. It's just, and this might be a reflection to Commissioner Van Beek's point. A lot of these things might be deferred items that have been known for years, or they might be emergent needs. And I think it's wise to hear maybe Director Britton in a capital, and I think Chief Rass has done a good job in identifying all of the capital needs, and I think people are asked to prioritize, like, what's a need versus a want. What maybe enhances safety, improves morale, but is not needed necessarily for operational. Does it create operational efficiencies? Does it hinder operational efficiencies? There's a lot of things to think through these things, and I know that. You know, I think Director Britton, and hearing that he is more the one who is handling the procuring or literally building the stuff, this is unique from the city of Nampa, as you referenced before, whereas there's certain vendors that would be used to outfit stuff that would be under the oversight of facilities in partnership with departments, it would be in the department budgets, but the procurement would be kind of under the responsibility of the facilities manager. But if there's any labor component for installation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, like Britton, like even if you approved all this, if Britton says I can only do half of it this year, just from a bandwidth input standpoint, then that's
right.
Direct you in identifying how much of this to do.
Right.
But you also want to take good advantage of, I mean, those are fixed costs. We're employing people who are, they stand ready with the shop to turn out product, you know, on behalf of the county. So it seems like that all of that should roll into a meeting, in that capital meeting. And Mr. Assessor, I think you already stated what the date was, Monica. And the assessor confirmed that he'd be here. And some of these, it just might be wait. It's not like,
mm-hmm.
Yes, wait, no. I mean, that's your decision, yeah.
And clerk, go off that too. He did prioritize Director Britton, 1, 2, 3, and 4. I've got the cost breakdown for each one. And I think it basically is bandwidth of what he can handle, what he can't.
What do we do with our occupancy roll revenue?
What did we do with it?
Yeah.
We realize it as revenue? You're wondering, like, what we've done as far as budgeting it?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so as far as I can tell, it's never been budgeted as its own line item. We were budgeting circuit breaker as a revenue line that was on top of what we identified the levy as. As far as I could tell, that was a way of maybe trying to budget on the books. If we were to levy $55 million, we all know circuit breaker is the state paying part of that $55 million tax bill on behalf of the taxpayers who owe their piece of the pie of that $55 million. So circuit breaker should not have been budgeted as an additional amount above and beyond what we put on the L2 as the levy, and I've confirmed that with talking with other parties. The supplemental, the occupancy, it's, you know, we'll have to talk about that in revenue. Right now, my inclination is not to show that as anticipated revenue because there is no guarantee of it. You still realize the revenue. Then I would go before the BOCC, hopefully after the occupancy is realized, like it was just due, right, this past month. If it's above and beyond the revenue projections, meaning it's revenue that is realized that wasn't budgeted, then we can talk about opening the budget to authorize an expenditure that wasn't in the budget. So my preference is to use the occupancy maybe through a budget amendment once we see how much we have to then do a transfer into, say, the health trust or a transfer into certain capital projects one time, not ongoing expense items. But we haven't had that discussion yet. And in the past, as far as I could tell, yeah, the revenue is realized. It's coming in. I haven't seen in budget amendments where occupancy supplemental was reallocated, as it were, through a budget amendment for an expenditure above and beyond what was already in the budget. I don't know if that answers your question. Okay.
I'll follow up.
Okay. But even if the money is there to do some stuff for needs, I think the commissioners and the county just needs to determine how much do you stay within the bandwidth of Director Britton. You also don't want to employ people to sit around doing nothing. You want to maximize that labor that you're paying for to realize the full value. But I think he could speak better, the commissioners, to how much of this stuff gets done. But I can see where a director or an EO says, this is an absolute must, with all due respect. If our shop can't get this done, I want to be able to procure outside of our shop. That's between, I think, the commissioners and the EOs, you know, on the capital type stuff, furniture type stuff. So
is there a way set up that we have this unanticipated revenue that EOs or directors could request a portion of that money for something that doesn't get done in their budget?
We
I mean, philosophically, you probably have A savings and B savings. Like, and I would prefer, I don't want to speak on behalf of the commissioners, but what I would recommend is that the commissioners not do these sort of adjustments unless there's an emergent need that arises that was unanticipated early in the fiscal year. But if you're talking about revenues that are outside, above and beyond, let's say we were awarded a grant that wasn't budgeted, for example, you're gonna have to show an expense line to expend that grant. That would be one reason you open the contract. But if the occupancy, like that is something, in fact, in this current fiscal year we could talk about, but right now, like whatever help relief to fund balance, because we're in a deficit climate right now from a budget standpoint. So it's just reducing the amount of fund balance that we're expending. So my preference right now is to not view this as unanticipated revenue to go spend, if that makes sense. But that's up to the BOCC. If there's an emergent need, we would be happy to tell you what the occupancy revenues are, and you could create a new line item. But in your case, if there's savings from A and B, you could do a one-time spend on the B. I think for transparency purposes, coming before the commissioners, if you're ending the year, I think the sheriff's office, there's a lot of departments that may, I don't know if it's their regular habit, but might look in the last quarter of the year and say, hey, we have some savings, we also have some needs, we didn't budget for them, but commissioners, are you okay if we go spend these one-time things on the B budget that aren't in the budget? In that case, it's technically not a budget amendment because they're still under their budget on the very bottom line. That makes sense. A and B. But I still think that that's a permission question before the BOCC, right? So there's not an entitlement we have to take, hey, you know, I've had a few vacancies, I have $60,000 savings, I'm just going to go buy new fill-in-the-blank, new monitors, new laptops, even though it's ahead of the schedule, just because you want nice things. Not to say you would do that, but I think that's where it's important from a fiscal control standpoint, that it's not an entitlement to spend the A to B on things. The budget's really important. The reason we have the line items is it is a good faith commitment to fund only the things that are articulated in here, but we know that you're going to be under and over on some things, and as long as it washes out at the bottom, there's no need for budget amendments.
Chairman, can I make a comment on that? I really appreciate the way that you've articulated that, and I think it represents a significant change in practice and policy. So you've already stated it, but a budget is a promise to the taxpayer that we will fund and do what we've outlined in the process that we're doing now. So we have approved certain things. The sheriff's office is a really good example of needs that were not met for several years that really affect the public safety and the safety of officers. So they do present a list of, here's the savings, this may not have come through, can we substitute this? And those are outlined and articulated in detail. And for me, I really appreciate that level of transparency. That's what we're trying to do. And that mindset that we're entitled because it's in our budget, I disagree with that fundamentally. It is all taxpayer dollars. And if we're going to vary from what we said we would fund, then we need to put that information on the record.
Yeah, I support that. You're also part of why we do quarterly budget reports is cash flow. Obviously, we're not going to expend all of our B budget in the first quarter because for cash flow purposes, we couldn't. So there are good reasons why just because you approve a budget doesn't mean it's like a gift card for us to go just spend on our terms. It's there's still these checks and balances in place. But I don't know if the assessor, if you were inquiring about the supplemental to know if there's a way in the current fiscal year to maybe fund the need. I don't want to be a mind reader, but I know there's usually a purpose behind the question.
Wondering what we were doing.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. And then in the process in the future, I think I heard another question that was really helpful. What if the BOCC adopts a process of there's this unrealized, you know, every year if people are building, there's going to be occupancy revenue realized. What does the BOCC want to do with that in the future? And I think that that would be a meeting worth having in the future where we talk about those items, where we could just let it roll to fund balance, or you can talk about, you know, sending it to the health trust or whatever. Yeah.
And Chairman, can I comment on that? I think that's a really great place for us to be heading as we look at the future, is where we start identify. So whether it's the fair and their increased revenues and how they allocate that, or some of the things that you're doing, it was all lumped together in current expense with really no delineation, much like the administration fee from the landfill. Maybe that's the right thing to do, but we're not tracking revenue at that level where we would say, here's where this went. Here is, it doesn't allow historically for long-term planning. And I think if we can start getting into the weeds, that would help us plan for known multi-year projects. And really the case in point is Aumentum that you're talking about. There was really no preparation, it looks like, just from the 30,000-foot view of that anticipated cost, and really fundamentally to that I object to. So we need to be planning for that.
Okay. Until round three?
Yes.
Well, I just got actually, Mr. Chair, wondering if could we do a round three on, since you're July 22nd at 2:30, would that work?
I think you said yes.
For like third round?
Yep.
You have your reappraisal ready?
Yeah, I was thinking August.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll definitely be here until.
Okay.
Chairman, can I make one more comment?
Sure.
I'm really proud of what Canyon County has recruited for talent and where we're at and where we're heading. We have a really great team in place. I love what's happening in the clerk's office. I love that the board is working together and with other elected offices. At this level of leadership, that's what we're elected to do. And so I say this a lot when people ask, how is it? I said, it's a great time to be in county government. And when you have top-down leadership that has integrity, that's a good ship to be riding on, and that's what we have. So even though there's challenges in this, we're nitpicking and sorting through that in a way that I personally am proud of.
On that fine note, is there anything else?
I would like to go get lunch, Chairman. It's only 3 o'clock.
You are a late bloomer.
I know.
Okay. If there is anything else, let's recess to our next meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.